Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
So I spent a portion of the morning show trying to figure out the worst plus minus for a guy who scores 40 points in a game. Now, I found a way to do it, but I'm not paying for the next tier pro basketball reference, so I got stopped by a paywall. So I don't have an answer. But I was prompted to look it up because Kevin Durant scores 40 last night. Do you know what his plus minus is, Sean, without looking at the box score?
No, but I assume like minus, what, double digits?
Minus 18.
Yeah. Oh, God.
This is what I'm saying. I was like, I saw that and had the same reaction. How do you score 40 points and have a minus 18 plus
also,
minus?
How the Rockets only lose by like six?
Well, eight. Well, they made a lot of threes in the fourth quarter to take a lead and eventually threw it away because they couldn't get any stops.
Yeah, but they made a comeback. I was like, I guess they just didn't have Kevin Durant when they made the comeback.
Like, they took a lead in the fourth quarter. Kevin Durant was making shots to extend the lead. It never got to more than like five maybe, but you felt like, okay, this is taking a turn in their favor. They are down by 20 to start. We'll hear from Ime Udoka on that start, but they're up. They're down by 20. They whittle away at it. Second quarter, they get closer at the half. Third quarter, they get a little bit closer. And then by the end of about the 3-minute mark of the fourth quarter, it feels like, all right, we're going to find a way to win this game. Because they continue to make shots. They're trading threes for twos, twos for a split at the line. The Bulls were doing missing free throws. And it felt like, okay, this win isn't going to be impressive, but at least you find a way. You've won your third game in a row, and we'll see if that leads to something. Instead, your lineup could not get any stops, and the Bulls went on a three-point binge of their own as Kevin Durant tried to match, and it wasn't enough. You couldn't keep them from the rim. You couldn't keep them from knocking down threes, and that's a poor combination when you're trying to close out a game. And the Rockets are used to being bad in the clutch. They're one of the worst clutch defenses in all of basketball. This comes from one of our favorites, Steven Adams stats. He doesn't have a lot of Steven Adams numbers to give us in the last couple months.
Yeah, but the data drudging never stops.
Yeah, and also, anytime the Rockets do things like this, you can compare it to when Steven Adams is on the floor.
There we go.
To when he's not on the floor, and then that's your avenue to talk about how great Steven Adams is. But the Rockets gave up a season's worst 22 points in the last 5 minutes. They gave up a true shooting percentage of 94.5. That's pretty high. It's pretty high to nearly give up 100% true shooting to anyone, let alone the Bulls. And they allowed the Bulls to score on 10 out of the last 11 possessions from the 4:30 mark on. All that combines to see Bouzelis and Jalen Smith and Josh Giddey all make plays late to beat you. And we got the other side of the Reed Shepherd conversation. I didn't see a lot of the Rockets are now 10-3 and Reed Shepherd starts. I didn't see a lot of that stuff pop up. It pops up, of course, when he plays well and they win. I don't know if that popped up last night where he doesn't shoot the ball well. He's a defensive liability because the Bulls are trying to get him in in matchups where they can get Josh Giddey on him or Buzelis on him. So while there is a balance to all this, and people, rightfully so, will talk about the impact offensively Reed Sheppard can provide, there's also this downside where he's too small to guard two big guards for the Bulls, and they continually hunt him and make plays, whether it's because the Rockets need to help and it leaves a guy open, or like Buzelis on the closer to put the Bulls up five before Kevin Durant got hit with an offensive foul. And then eventually you may get thrown out of the game. Buzelis just gets Reed Sheppard on him, and Buzelis is big. He's a big guy. He's for a ball handler, and he just overpowers Reed to the rim and just shoots right over him. These are the concerns when you have someone who's small, and as the old school guys say, light in the pants. When you have all that combined, you get attacked. And if he's not going to shoot the ball well and put up a tour date night, there really is a negative when he's on the floor. And as much as the conversation has been about his recent play, I like to use bigger sample sizes than a five-game stretch. I generally say, hey, 82 games is 82 games for a reason. The number of games in a season is a pretty accurate way to determine how well a player did, as opposed to a month here or a 20-game stretch here. But Reed, in the month of March, shooting under 36% from three, just over 42% from the floor. The minutes are up. The efficiency is down. And that is including some of the big nights he's had. So there are some positives, there are some negatives, but when he goes 5 for 17, 3 of 14 from 3, and yeah, you got to get shots up as you're trying to attempt a comeback, there's not a lot to look at and go, he had a positive impact on the game, and he wasn't alone. As I mentioned, somehow, some way, Kevin Durant can go score 40 and be hyper-efficient doing it and still be a minus 18, but Reed and Amen Thompson, minus 17 and minus 12 between them. So overall, your starters weren't great on the floor. Alpi had a really good night. Triple-double, only a minus 6, but the defense still remains a problem. So you get beat by the Bulls. You're down by 20 before people really settle in. I wonder how many people weren't really locked in on Rocket start time, but hey, I'll get to it. I know they're playing tonight. And then they look up and they're down double digits in the first quarter and wind up being down by 20 at the end of one. Ime had plenty to say about his team and the officials. You know, before we get to the sound, do you think Ime, of all the ex-players who are coaches, is the most ex-player among them as far as his disdain for the referees and his open disdain for them? How he doesn't hold back, whether he's calling them soft, which he just did last night, or what he was using. Did he use soft the previous time as well, or did he pretty much say they were unqualified to do their job?
Didn't he say they were starstruck?
Starstruck, yes, which is very insulting.
Against Denver?
Jokic,
not
yeah.
The most recent time, yeah, but early in the season.
Time before Jokic, yeah. He called them starstruck. So I know players, we have Tarisin who talked about the Zebras. That quote becomes a part of the show lore. So we know players can be disrespectful of referees they don't like. But you feel like coaches have to kind of temper that down because they don't want to be targets. They don't want to have their players always complaining. I don't think Ime minds if his players are disrespectful of the referees. And in fact, let's play an example of why I think that. We'll get to what he said about his own team because he wasn't very respectful of them. But here's Ime Udoka, because at the end of the game, he got thrown out arguing about a Kevin Durant offensive foul. There are some flagrant stuff, flagrant calls he didn't like, and he let it be known in the postgame.
Some flagrant today in a game this close. What led to them, and how do you reflect?
Flagrant soft as hell. It's nothing. And then the techs were soft, too. I'm not about to complain about a soft crew. So it is what it is.
A soft crew. Is that that's enough to get fined, right? If you say if all the calls are soft and the referee crew is soft as well, that's a finable offense.
I
right?
think you get fined.
Yeah, it's insulting. I don't know what the level is, because what he did before got him fined when he was talking about how they're starstruck. If you call the referee crew soft and say their flagrants and texts are soft, you probably catch a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like whatever. It's not the worst thing.
It's not the worst thing.
Yeah, but
you just don't regularly heal. Like Bickerstaff will get upset because he thinks his team is officiated unfairly.
Yeah, I know. Like
we've had like coaches will call out how other teams get beneficial treatment in a game.
Yeah, Missoula had a post game where they're like, "So what went wrong?" And he was just like, "The refs." And just like he just kept like he wouldn't say anything other than
he was
referee.
Also the one who said at least my principal. When he threw, was he the guy who said when they throw someone out, at least he does it, he did it himself? He didn't have like an underling do it. Was that him or was that Ime?
That, I mean, it feels like something Joe Mazzulla would say.
Yeah, because he got thrown out of a, I think it was him. He got thrown out of a game.
Yeah.
By
another
the,
ref.
By the ref he wasn't complaining to.
Yeah.
And he goes, at least my principal was a man pretty much and threw.
Yeah.
And suspended people himself. Like Ned Stark. If you pass the sentence, you have to use the sword or whatever.
Yeah.
However that quote goes.
I think Mazzulla, Udoka, like Redick, Bickerstaff is like the upper echelon, I'd say, of anti-referee coaches. Coaches that have been most loudly like, these guys are incompetent.
Yeah, and don't mind. And coaching salaries are such that, man, you catch a fine. You catch a $25K fine a couple times a year. Yeah. You'll be just fine. We'll actually play the sound about how from Udoka about how he did not like his own team's performance when we come back. Keith, you want to – or you have an NBA question. For all the interns going forward, if Keith calls in and gives a moniker of Hall of Fame caller, just put Keith up there. You don't have to listen to him. As far as how he wants to be named. You don't have to do it. Just say Keith. That's the rule on this show. If you're an intern on another show and you want to stick with how the caller described themselves, that's fine. But for this show, either they have a fake persona that you can honor, that's cool, or hell, we'll even go with where they're from. If Keith was like Keith from Montrose, that's fine. But Hall of Fame caller, no, we're not doing that here. First of all, I don't know who put him in the Hall of Fame. Who voted, either way, self-proclaimed stuff, not a chance. That's a hard, we don't have many hard and fast rules here, that's one of them.
Yeah, it's no, that so, one in no,
you
Bang
cannot,
Bang Niner Gang.
Yeah, that one, yeah, that's a hard and fast rule too. You cannot call yourself what Keith called himself and allow for that or hope for that to be a thing on the show. Interns, don't listen. In fact, whoever's out there, change that up there. Take that off the board as Hall of Fame caller Keith. When we come back, he should just be Keith. Or if you want a disparaging nickname for him, you can do that too. Either way, no more. We got to nip that in the bud. It's getting a little ridiculous. We'll go to break with that. Anyone else want to join us with a actually real description of who they are type of name? You can do that. 713-780-3776. Thank you. It's been changed. That's the type of action I'm looking for. Look, sometimes your government doesn't get in and change things, our interns will. Thank you to whoever that is for changing that up. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's hear from a unhappy Ime Udoka. Right, he played a clip where he called the referee soft. Let's hear him on his team, who was down 20 to the Bulls at the end of one.
Poor start, disrespected the game, not prepared from the get-go, just non-aggressive, following around, watching them shoot. They have nothing to lose, they're going to fire away, and obviously to give up 41 points in that first quarter is disappointing. It was one quarter that killed us, and weren't prepared to play at all.
Well, that one certainly put them behind, and they had to fight back throughout the game, giving up 37. Is a problem too in the fourth, and as we laid out, thanks to Steven Adams' stats, allowing them to score on 10 of their last 11 possessions when you were trying to take control of that game is a problem too. So Rockets defensively did not show up in the first and fourth quarters, and it cost them a very winnable game against a bad Bulls team. who has some guys they like Buzelis and Giddey. But that should have been a, even if it's a game in the fourth quarter, that's a game you win kind of easily, and then you move on to a big game against Minnesota instead. You lose, and the Minnesota game goes from, hey, you know what, if we split the first two games of the road trip, okay, to now it's very important that you get this one, or you can't finish any better than 500 on the four-game road trip. So
it really felt like the second Utah game from, like, when they played Utah two games in Utah, not back-to-back, but without any games in between. And it was another one where it's like this terrible team just, like, is around in the fourth quarter, and when they're around in the fourth quarter, it's like, oh, they might just like, these guys are good too. Like, they, you know, it was Lauri Markkanen in that one. This one, it was Giddey and Buzelis, where it's just like, yeah, hey,
they were top.
You can just get got.
You know, like, lottery picks. They've got some talent. Yeah. I know John was very upset about it. He kept calling the Bulls a G League team, and yeah, sure, they're not expected to win. But you look around that roster, you've got Buzelis and Giddey, and of course Patrick Williams, who's been a disappointment. He's been around a long time. Colin Sexton's been in. At least a solid NBA player for a while. And as you said, once you get the motor going and they realize they have a shot to win a ball game, then things get scary. And you allow Buzelis and Giddey to create. And even Jalen Smith had a night knocking down three. So it all came together for the Bulls, particularly in that first and fourth quarter.
Especially with these, like, bad teams where it's if you
let them hang out around. Hope. Once they feel like they can go get one, then you got a real problem because – oh, we're playing the Rockets tonight. They're giving us a shot to win. Let's go take this one. Yeah. And the Bulls did. Like, the Nets and the Jazz, okay, you could let them hang around, although you did lose the Jazz game. You let them hang around and probably find a way to win. The Bulls, they're bad, but they're still on the verge of 30 wins. They're not 20-win bad. Yeah. So there's still a little juice left in the tank, and they found a way against a Rocket team who, as you heard their coach, disrespected the game in that first quarter.
That's one of my favorite phrases. They disrespected the game with the effort. It's like always with, like, it's a very coach thing of, like, your effort disrespected the game of basketball.
It's not, hey, if you go out there and play hard and don't shoot the ball well, that's not disrespect. That's just basketball.
Yeah.
But you did not.
The way you conducted yourself.
This game that you should love and hold close to your heart all the time. You went out there and disrespected it. Yeah.
Dr. James Naismith is rolling in his grave.
John Wooden. Cannot believe that the Rockets put on that performance. Yeah, all the great ancestors of the past in basketball can't believe what the Rockets did last night. It did cost them the game, though. Let's get to Keith, who has been correctly dubbed just Keith, as opposed to Hall of Fame caller Keith. What's up, Keith?
Hey, first off, I never told the call screener that I was a Hall of Fame caller. At this point, it's just assumed I'm a top three caller, but I did not tell him to change the caption on anything. My question is, you know, with this kind of the struggles that the Rockets have kind of taken place this season with Ime, and there's a lot of coaching questions surrounding Ime's style and this and that. I know he took the Celtics to the title game, but, you know, ultimately they lost to the Warriors. But do you think there's a situation where Ime becomes kind of the Tom Thibodeau of last year, where, you know, you feel like they have to make a change to, like, a Mike Brown, like the Knicks did, to get him over the hump? You know, the Knicks made the East Finals last year, but, you know, made a kind of a historic coaching change, and now Mike Brown's been leading the way. I could see Ime potentially getting the Tibbs treatment and getting sent home. And also, did you guys know that lethal shooter, that social media, you know, self-proclaimed shooting coach, you know, played high school basketball with Kevin Durant? That was pretty cool.
I did not know that till he tweeted it, so I knew it before you brought it to the table, Keith. But, I was unaware of the roster for Kevin Durant's high school team. It's not something I looked into. I didn't look into his Texas rosters either. But now I know Lethal Shooter did play with Kevin Durant, and Tari Eason's mom wants him to work with Tari. We'll see if that goes.
You know, I will give Tari Eason's mom this. To be an active mother of an NBA player, or a mother of an NBA player active on social media, like, there's no playbook for it. There's no handbook for how to handle it.
That's true.
I think she's doing it really well. considering her son is like 2 for 30 in the month of March from three. I think leaning into it and being like, yeah, he needs to get it together. Like, what? Yeah, that's the only thing that won't enrage people. And it still will enrage some people. But it's like the perfect, like, you know what? I have eyeballs, too. He should make some shots.
I do think it helps that he's played for one team. He joined as a rookie, and she was on social media from that point. And he joined as the Rockets were on their come up, and despite some of his absences due to injuries, it was still, hey, this is charming. Tari is part of this core. We love Tari's mom. She's just a fan like us, and she roots on the Rockets. So she's been all in on the Rockets, and that helps. There's never been any trashing of the Rockets as her son goes through his ups and downs.
That's another thing that players' relatives will do.
Yeah. Now, if Tari signs a lucrative deal in the offseason someplace, and the new fan base doesn't really know about Tari Eason's mom, other than, oh, that's a mom who's active on social media, then it becomes a different story if he's struggling while he's like a $25 million per year man. Then it becomes, oh, the mom is chiming in, and the conversations about Tari, while they're getting a bit slanderous because of this recent run, it'll be much different if he signs someplace and expected to be a starter on a team and he's struggling. I don't know how charming it'll be in a different city where they don't have the background they haven't built up the relationship that Rocket fans have built up by seeing her social media.
It's the two things of A, don't have the history. B, like when you're just making a lot more money. A lot of it gets, hey, you know what? This isn't as fun anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's like with any team where it's like, you know, the 23 Texans were way more fun than the 24 Texans, although they had basically the same season. Like, it's just when you throw on the expectations of like, hey, we're going for it, or hey, this guy's a big, you know, high-priced acquisition. It's like, this isn't as fun.
It's the expectations, and if we go back to the Texans, and we'll get to the Ime Udoka thing. The expectations and the fact that you haven't seen these players fail in front of you yet. Yeah. It's all upward trajectory. It's new. It's great. It's a thing. When you watch a guy you believe in start to not come through all the time, you didn't have that before. Now you're having it, and you start to question some things. And that's just the price of being a fan and how all these things work. You're in on a guy. You'll fight to the death as far as social media is concerned for this person. And then once the failures and the scars start to build up, you're a little less willing to do it until they come through. And if they don't ever come through, then that relationship starts to change. Unless you're a Stan, and then it'll never change.
Yeah.
Some guys just will have those guys, and it doesn't matter what they do. They'll be defenders. Yeah, being a Stan is
don't just if ridiculous. You're listening, don't be a Stan.
As an adult, like, I don't mind someone who loves a player as a child. Like if you were an 11-year-old who loved a pop star until she sent the security guard after you. If you're like that, cool. Root for your player. Defend that player at all costs. Who cares? That's part of being a kid who loves their favorite player. But at some point, you allow reality to set in. And these people don't know you. They don't care about you. Move on. In fact, if you ever said anything negative about them at any point, even if it was just constructive and had some real basis of fact behind it, they look at you and tell you to release yourself from their D, like Kevin Durant would. So at some point, we got to let it go and just watch and root for your team above all else. But hey, Stan culture will continue to exist. As far as Ime Udoka, the big difference is the Knicks had like six seasons with Tom Thibodeau. It is now year three, right? Year three?
Yes.
Year three with Ime Udoka. Second year that they'll be in the playoffs. I think he would get another year. Even if they got swept, that would really strain it a bit if it's an embarrassing sweep, but he'll get another year. I don't think we're at Tom Thibodeau range as of yet. The Knicks made a lot of trades to acquire guys to go win, and Tom Thibodeau's had a long run of not winning the big one in multiple places. So you could even go, there's upside here that at some point this young coach will figure it out. You couldn't even convince yourself of that if you're a Knick fan or Knick or the Knick organization. You've seen this happen in multiple places. Why would you suspect that you're going to be different? At least with the Rockets, yes, Ime Udoka made the finals in the 1 year he was with the Celtics. We can always ignore the fact that he had two supremely talented players who had gone through playoff runs before without him, and maybe were just ready to go. Did he? And also the fact that he goes, the next guy leads them to the Eastern Conference Finals the first year and then to the title the next year. So how much of that was Ime? How much of that was the Boston infrastructure? I guess we'll never know, really. So we can push that to a side and just talk about his Rockets tenure. This is a young coach as far as experience is concerned. The Rockets are likely still seeing upside there and room for growth. If he was 15 years in the game as far as a head coach, maybe they would feel differently.
Yeah, it's also the Knicks guys are all late 20s.
Yeah, they're older players with all the trades. They gave up all the picks for Mikal Bridges. Of course, they brought in Cat. Yeah, they've given up so much. The Rockets, at most, a first-rounder, Dillon and Jalen, depending on how you felt about Jalen Green, that might have been just the cost of doing business because at least you didn't have to give up guys you felt better about. Somebody had to get traded.
Yeah.
And maybe after Jalen's first-round playoff performance, his first-ever playoff performance where it didn't go well, you're more than willing to make that sacrifice because Kevin Durant was coming in. The Knicks just had more invested, had more time with the coach, and sometimes the voice just gets stale.
Yeah, and it's something where if you're the Knicks, it's like there's not really anything for us to change about this roster other than
the coach.
Yeah. Other than
they
the
were
coach.
Committed.
Yeah,
they weren't even.
They kind of had like don't have any moves left.
Yeah, unless they could have convinced the Bucks to trade Giannis for Cat and stuff, because the picks aren't as plentiful because of all the moves they have made. So they are kind of stuck. They made their move at the coaching level. The Rockets have other moves to make with personnel before they get the Ime if they believe strongly in him. So I don't see that happening for all the reasons we laid out. All right, we'll go to break. When we come back, we'll talk some Astros because a new Dana Brown quote just dropped. And it's very similar to what Dana Brown has said in the past. You know, with musical artists, when they get up to a certain point, like if there are five albums in, maybe they want to experiment. It doesn't go well, and then they go back to what their fan base really likes. Dana Brown never did the experimenting. Now, I don't know if the fan base likes it. Well, this is one of the old bangers, if you want to call it that, as far as potential extensions to players. We'll get into that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So there is an article from Chandler Rome as the Astros get ready to begin the 2026 season. Some things that are out there as far as newsworthy stuff. Spencer Arrighetti optioned to AAA. He'll be in Sugar Land to start the year. Lance McCullers wins that fifth spot in the rotation. In fact, let's hear from Joe Espada on that. So Lance McCullers, who's fought back from a lot, has talked in a way that may suggest this could be his final year pitching period. He, at least to start, will be your fifth starter, or at least will be in the rotation. Here is Joe Espada on why Lance McCullers won that spot.
I know we talked in spring training. What did you see from Lance the time you were there that maybe gave you the confidence to put him in starting?
He was aggressive in the zone. He was not holding back. He knows exactly what he needs to do. You got to compete in the box to get people out, you know, and that's something that when he's going well, that's you pitch ahead, you stay ahead, you put people away with your breaking ball, but you have to compete in the box. And he came in with a different demeanor, mindset was different, and you know he pitched well enough. Really saw a difference in the way he attacked hitters.
So Lance McCullers wins that spot, 8 innings this spring, 5 strikeouts. The ERA fluctuates 3.3, whatever you take from that, but his whip of 1.25 in spring. So he wins that job. Arrigetti goes down to go get some starts. Not going to be a long reliever. No real spot for him to be a high leverage guy. So Arrigetti goes down to get starts, and as we well know, we can look forward to Arrigetti getting some starts on the major league level this year, and probably a lot of them. It's just how Astros seasons go. So in this article by Chandler Rome with The Athletic, it talks about the title window. We know Jim Crane, the famous quote, as long as I'm here, the title window's always open. And now there is some differing of opinion about that window, not just from people covering the team or who are fans of the team, but the team itself, players on the team. Because you talked to Lance McCullers, who's been very introspective about where he is as far as his baseball career. He talked about it kind of in the same way with the team. Any team that is on a long playoff run, the window can't stay open forever. Just because maybe now that window is closed in that part of time doesn't mean you can't retool and find a new window, a new time to be successful. Which, if you just look at recent history, the Astros' run of being a contender since about, if you want to give them 2015, which was the surprise, or maybe you want to start with 2017. Either way, you're talking about over a decade or just under a decade of being a team you should consider a threat to win the World Series. That is a long time in any sport, a decade's worth of believing you have a shot to go win it all. Asking for more than that is probably asking for too much. You hear it from Lance McCullers there. If you hear it from Correa, he says this: I haven't heard that narrative, maybe because I'm not on social media. That's not something we talk about here. That's an impossible thing for us right now. I don't think the window has closed yet. So that's the one of the leaders of your team believing that they're still a shot. Now, he hasn't been here the whole time like Lance McCullers has. That's the difference. Correa went away and then came back. McCullers has been here and has seen the exodus of players. It's not the same team anymore. Correa can probably feel that too, but he didn't see them all leave. McCullers has one of the more unique perspectives when it comes to the Astros. Despite his absences because of injury, he's been around to see the guys walk out the door. It's him, Altuve, and that's it, right? Who remains?
Yeah, McCullers, Altuve.
You want to include Correa because he came back. Yeah, he hasn't been around the whole time. But that's it. Javier came a little later, so he's still around.
Yeah. I mean, even like Yordan like came a little bit. You know, he's been teammates with Carlos Correa before, but it was like right as his career was starting. So
yeah, Lance's first year at the Astros, as far as the major league level, was the first year they made the playoffs. He wasn't a big contributor, but 2015, yeah, he made his major league debut. So he's been around from the jump. He has seen it all. When he was at his highs and his lows, he's seen it all. And I don't think he's wrong to say, hey, maybe a year or two of retooling is what it takes. The question is, was last year
yeah,
that year, or is it this year and last year, plus the impending lockout or strike, whatever you want to call what this work stoppage will be, will those be the intervals between the contender status of previous years and what's up in the future? Or did it just take the year and now they're back as a team who we can think of as a real contender?
I mean, you could already view it as like the 2017, you know, 15 to like 19 or 20. Like, that team is distinctly different than the 21
it
to
is.
24 teams.
Maybe the line of demarcation. Yeah, like, Garrett Cole leaving, if you want to say 2019, or the COVID year is the line in the sand, the 2020 team.
Because after 20, that's when Springer also. So it's like, yeah, you can it's already, you know, I mean, we already said Correa, who already left and came back, Altuve and McCullers, as far as the guys who have been here since the beginning. It's like, this already might just be, like, they've been retooling.
They might have retooled a couple times, but just kept winning.
Yeah, it just, there's no dip, especially, you know, 17 to 23. Like, that's the, you know, ALCS streak.
Yeah.
And since then, it's like, this is where it's hard to, like, you know, write the history as it's happening of, well, was the last 2 years, like the retool year, and this one, it's like, okay, back to business, back to competing for or winning the AL West, because they competed for the AL West the last couple of years, but back to, you know, making it deeper on the playoffs? Or are we going to look back and be like, nope, the start of it was 2024, is game seven of the 2023 ALCS.
Losing like that home game and the chance to go to the World Series.
Where the run ended. Like, you just don't know that until, you know, some years pass, and we'll see if they either overachieve or, you know, just get better this year and next year.
Well, two guys who were a part of the second, if you want to call it run, after, let's say after the COVID year, two guys who are a big part of it are Hunter Brown and Jeremy Pena. Hunter Brown, one of the top pitchers in baseball. Jeremy Pena won a World Series MVP, ALCS MVP, all those things. Both Boris clients, which leads to the question of, will they continue to be Astros once they hit free agency? Well, Dana Brown said something very familiar in comparison to what he said in the past about stars and their potential in remaining Astros. Pena and Brown are two targets for us right now. You got the pitcher and you got the position player, and those are two pillars for the future. I think if you can get those guys extended, those are wins. We're going to have some conversations with them for sure, but it's a goal to have those guys sign extensions here. So we remember Hunter Brown was interviewed and said, yeah, I haven't really talked about an extension for a while now. This is confirmation that we're going to have some conversations. Not that we're having ongoing conversations. We're going to have those conversations. Didn't Dana Brown say this or say something very similar when in talking about Bregman? That kind of like, we'll get around to it.
He said, I think it was
Fromber like, too, maybe?
It was more concrete than this. It was more like, my plan is to extend Bregman and Tucker. Like, because it was basically right when he got hired. Was like, so we bringing back Bregman or Tucker, and is like, yes, my plan is to do that. And
well, his goal is to do this. That's what it says.
Yes.
It's the goal to have those guys sign extensions here. And when you hear sign extensions, and Scott Boris is the agent for both, you know, extensions being signed. If you want to beat out the rest of the market for us, for them, sure. But we're not just going to sign a deal. These guys are getting a free agency. Unless you come over the top. And there's nothing in the Astros history that says they're coming over the top for anyone. You would think if it was going to happen, it would be with Hunter Brown, your star pitcher who has managed to avoid the curse of the arm injury. Sure, it's across baseball, but it feels like it hits home here in Houston even stronger than in other places. He has avoided that. He and Fromber, who's no longer here, were the two guys who, no matter what, would go out there and start. So if you're not going to pay Hunter Brown, who are you going to pay? The problem is he got the representation that says we take all the money. And even if we got to wait till February, we will wait. If it takes opt-outs, if it takes 7 years, whatever, as far as the length of the contract, whatever it takes, we're going to try to get all the money we can, because that's what a Boris client does. Good luck to Dana Brown. The question for me is, forget about my thought of the likelihood of him actually signing either of these two guys. Who's to say he's even around to really be the focal point of these conversations? Because that's a part of the Chandler Rome article too. Dana Brown's job status. And that goes for Joe Espada. They're both in the final year of their deal. And Dana Brown, when asked about it, he goes, from the day I got the job, I put a ton of pressure on myself. One, being the only African-American GM, I put a lot of pressure on myself to try to open doors for more guys coming behind me. Pressure is something that I'm used to. I'm a daily guy. Every day I want to win and put pressure on myself every day to win. He says he's old school. He won't ask for an extension. He goes, when you do the job well, the extension will come. Has he done the job well enough to expect an extension? Plenty of people would say no. Because right or wrong, financial constraints evident, that no one cares about that if you're losing to the Tigers in two games and then not making the playoffs last year. And if you don't do it again this year, no one's going to believe that the job has been done well enough to get an extension. So that's where Dana Brown says, stands. I'm not asking for it. He doesn't need Nick Saban to tell him to quit asking. He won't even ask. He just thinks he will do a good enough job for Jim Crane to be falling over himself, I guess, to give him an extension. I guess that's how it's going to go. The job will be done so well that Jim Crane will be batting off other owners to sign Dana Brown to a new deal.
Jim Crane, the guy who let a guy who won a World Series walk out the door before the parade.
Told James Click to get the F out of here, pretty much. Beat it.
Also, I have some sound from 2023 of him talking about it. Now, it's Altuve and Bregman. So that, okay.
Okay.
He has signed Altuve.
Yes.
But, this is the...
New on that front, you know, with Bregman and Altuve, I just made it clear to them, you know, and then there's some communication with Scott Boras, you know, because he has both players, that, hey, you know what, these guys should retire here, you know, they should be Houstons for life, man, because we think they value their abilities. We think Altuve has still got some gas in the tank, you know, and of course, you know, Bregman's, he's still pretty good, so... We're trying to sustain the winning, and it's just gonna tell guys we're gonna get done sooner, and then some guys we're gonna have to wait. But we are constantly in communication to try to make sure that we get these players secured. You guys want to?
I hope his actual approach wasn't pulling on the heartstrings of Scott Boras. Hey, we think these guys should be lifelong Astros. They should retire. Hope that wasn't actually part of the sell.
But being like, they should be lifelong Astros is a little bit stronger than, yeah, we plan to talk to Hunter Brown eventually.
Well, a lot of that lifelong Astros stuff, I believe, came from the Altuve side. Like, as long as we don't insult the man, he's going to play here.
In that one, there was like, and Bregman, he's good too.
Yeah, he's been pretty good, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, Altuve, one of the more unique stars of modern baseball where, hey, I'm just looking to, you know, play for the team. I'm happy to be here. Make sure the check's cash, and I think I'll just stay. That's pretty much what it is. He's a very wealthy man, but
yeah,
that was an easy one.
He's a guy who's like, you know what, I value just being here than the extra, like, theoretical $10 million. I'm 5'5" and already has made, you know, what, $300 million playing
life
baseball?
Life is good, yes.
Yeah, like, you know what? I'm not going to sweat that it could have been $350.
Yeah.
Just not going to do
it. It's not a worry for me. I'd rather be here than any place else. I'm good. That doesn't play with a lot of other players.
No.
And we've seen those players leave. But Dana Brown, hey, we're going to have those talks with our pillars. We haven't had the talks yet. But we'll
are these guys going to be Astros for life? Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
That's a tough thing to forecast.
Yeah, 6-year contract, maybe. You know?
I mean, sure, maybe Astros Ring of Honor, whatever they call it, Hall of Fame, will give them an orange jacket or something, but for life.
Yeah.
Forever? Who's to say? Good luck. Good luck to Dana Brown.
Maybe Pena's orange jacket. Hunter Brown.
Hunter Brown will be pitching.
It's tougher. For Hunter Brown.
I'll just be pitching for the Dodgers. It's tough to give an ex-Dodger a Hall of Fame jacket, an Astros Hall of Fame jacket. Yeah, you're right on that. All right, we'll go to break with that. That's our one. Done. We'll talk more Rockets. We talked about them early in the show, mostly because Dream Shake quoted some Reed Shepard stats, because I was talking about let's not use a small sample size to make judgments on a player when we have an 82-game season. Well, certainly the push for Reed Shepard to start is a strong one, particularly before last night's game. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some other things as well before we're done for the day. Remember, on Thursday, we're going to be out at St. Arnold. This show will be out there. John Lance show will be out there. The entire lineup will be out there because it's spring. It's still spring, but it's the opening of the Major League Baseball season. So spring training is over. We got Astros baseball on Thursday. We got Cougs basketball on Thursday as well. It's a big day in the city of Houston, and we're going to celebrate it out at St. Arnold. So you should join us. We're going to be out there all day long. I believe you can join us at – I'll get the right time, but not at 7. Well, we're going to be out there at 7. The doors don't open to the public till a little bit later, so I'll get you those times when we come back. Hour one done, hour two when we get back.
Moro Casino.
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.